I'm excited tonight to be able to look at some of these thoughts together with you this evening. They have been a special blessing to my heart. I shared some of these things, some of these thoughts from this passage this week with our deacons in our monthly meeting. And tonight, I want to share some more with you and develop them in more detail this evening. Isaiah 43, I'm going to read the first five verses, and after which we're going to pause and look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Follow along as I read, please, in verse 1. Isaiah writes and says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." Pray with me, please. Our Father, we thank you for this opportunity tonight to be able to come and look into your word. I thank you for the truth of it and this passage before us tonight. Pray, Father, that you would teach us some wonderful things from your word tonight. My heart has been blessed this week as I have considered these verses, as I have considered some thoughts from them. I trust there'll be a blessing to each one tonight. So, Father, we pray that you would teach us and help us in these things, in Jesus' name. Amen. In Isaiah 43, God, through the prophet Isaiah, brings a message to his own, to his people. And the message that God has for them is simple. Fear not. You and I today live in a society that is overrun with people who live in a state of fear. According to published psychological publications, there are 530 different phobias, including this one, phobophobia, the fear of phobias. Many of these phobias would be, to us who don't struggle with them, irrational. But those who live with these fears often have them to find themselves to be overtaken by those fears and to be crippled by them. I heard the story of a little boy one summer's night in the midst of a severe thunderstorm. His mom came by to tuck him in. And as she was getting ready to leave and turn off the light, she heard with a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me all night?" Smiling, the mother gave to him a warm and very reassuring hug, but said tenderly to him, "Honey, I can't. I have to sleep in Daddy's room tonight." There was a long silence between them. Finally, that silence was broken as she heard in a shaky voice from her little son, "The big sissy." Fears are often a problem for us. As we come to our text tonight, I want you to note several things concerning God's reassurance at our time of fear. For all of us, there are things that can make us afraid through life. Sometimes we can be overrun by fear because of physical illness, which leads to an uncertain future. Sometimes we can be afraid because of failing finances. Sometimes we have things going on within the economy and we begin to wonder and question, will I be able to continue to live the way that I've become accustomed to, or will things change for me? Sometimes we become afraid because we have a loss of job security because our company has shared that there's the reality that our department is likely going to close due to budget cuts. Sometimes we become afraid because a loved one has walked away from the Lord and we fear what their future holds apart from God. Sometimes we lack certainty of our future, not knowing what the Lord has in store, and therefore we live in fear. All of us have certain things that can cause us to be afraid. Yet the Bible comes to us and reassures us, fear not. God tells us that He is the God of all comfort. And tonight in this passage, He seeks to comfort our hearts with a simple admonition, fear not. And in fact, I want you to see with me four things tonight that can help us alleviate the fears that come into our lives and assure us of His favor. As we begin tonight, I want you to look at verse 1, and I want you to notice with me, first of all, the proclamation of God. Notice what we find again in verse 1. We have the Lord speaking to Jacob, to Israel, But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. Here's His proclamation. Fear not. Matter of fact, if you go over again in verse 5, He begins that verse the same way. Fear not, for I am with you. Twice in this passage, God gives a very simple proclamation. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Matter of fact, in this section of Isaiah's writing, and that would include chapter 41 down through chapter 44, seven times God gives that proclamation. Fear not. Perhaps one of the most familiar verses in this section is Isaiah 41 in verse 10. And there we find these words. The Lord speaking, fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Seven times in this section of this prophecy, Isaiah says, don't be afraid. And God begins this section, and twice He'll say in five verses, fear not. Don't be afraid. God assures us that you and I have nothing to fear. Even though we have confusion and not clarity, there is nothing for us to fear. And God has given to us that proclamation to reassure us. He is the God who is in control. He is our God. And to us He says, don't be afraid. Fear not. What a wonderful proclamation. The question, though, that we have as we come to the passage, though, is why should we not fear? Well, I think God gives us four reasons why we're not to be afraid. Three of them are going to be found right here in verse 1. The other one's going to be found in verse 5. But God gives us very specific reasons why we ought not to be afraid. I want you to notice them with me. And begin with me again in verse 1. God says, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Why ought you and I not be afraid? Even though we have lost clarity and we live in confusion, even though we live with uncertainty and we look around with no understanding of what is taking place, why do we not need to be afraid today? Because we have been redeemed by God. We look around at the world today and we can begin to question or fear. But God says to us, His people, don't be afraid. I have redeemed thee. What a wonderful truth. You and I don't need to be afraid because I have this knowledge. I've been redeemed by the Lord. That term, redemption, reminds me of this thought. It reminds me that I am loved and I am precious to the Lord. I have been redeemed by Him. He has purchased me as His possession. He has loved me and I am precious. How do I know that? Well, John 3:16 reminds us, for God so loved that He gave. God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. That Son who would become a ransom for our sins, and you and I were redeemed or purchased by His gift. And can I remind you, you and I were not redeemed with menial things like silver and gold, but Peter says we were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God says, don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. Not with silver and gold, but by the precious sacrifice of our Savior, by His blood shed for the remission of your sins. Folks, when I comprehend the fact that I stand here tonight redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, what have I to fear? God says to His people, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. But He doesn't stop there. He goes on and says, we have been chosen. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. We are chosen of God. God is writing to the people of Israel, to Jacob. And He reminds them that He has called them by their name. This is a reminder of their covenant position. You are a special chosen people. But you know, as I consider that thought tonight, there is comfort for the New Testament believer. Because when I come into the New Testament, the Bible tells me I am chosen of God. Matter of fact, Peter would say, I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Throughout the Scriptures, I also find this truth, that I am elect of God. Here's the sacred family secret. I am chosen of God, elect. He has called me by name. He knows me and He knows you. What a wonderful blessing that is. To know that I am chosen of God. Now, some people fear that term election. Can I just give you a simple thought in regards to election? Study through your New Testament. Never will you find that term spoken of to those who are lost and in need of a Savior. To them, God always says, whosoever will may come. Call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. The truth that we are elect or chosen of God is that family secret that He shares to be a comfort to our heart. Listen, I have chosen you. What a wonderful reality. See, folks, I don't need to fear because God redeemed me and He chose me as His own. That naturally leads to the third thought. We are His possession. Look at what it says. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. What great words. Thou art mine. Let those sink in for a moment. God says, fear not. You belong to me. He has redeemed us, chosen us, and made us His very own. When I consider that thought, that I belong to God, I have been purchased by His blood. The Spirit of God now lives within me. I am not my own. I am to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are His, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6. As I consider the fact that I am not my own, I belong to God. Why does that help me not to be afraid? Because Paul said it this way in Romans 8, verse 35. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? You are His. The Lord Jesus says you're in the palm of the Father's hand and no one can pluck you out. You are mine. Hey, beloved, understand those thoughts tonight. We don't need to fear because I've been redeemed, chosen, and I am a possession of Jesus Christ. I belong to Him. A child of the King. I need not be afraid. As you come down to verse 5, there's another part of this proclamation. Why do I not need to be afraid? He says, fear not, for I am with thee. I think of verses like Matthew 28, 19, and 20. We are told to go in all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13 and verse 5 tells me that I can be content no matter what state I am, because He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And God reminds His people, don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I have chosen you and called you by name. Thou art mine. And I have promised to ever be with you. And folks, I want to remind you, when God is sharing that with His people, they are under certain judgment. They are going to be carried away captive. But God said, I will bring you back. Their future was uncertain. The days ahead were going to be hard. But God said, don't be afraid. Why? Because we have been redeemed, chosen, His possession, and He has said, I will always be with you. As we move on in the passage tonight, we find not only the proclamation of God, but I want you to see with me the promise of God. Look at verse 2. God has proclaimed, don't be afraid. He's given us the reasons why. Now in verse 2, as if the proclamation wouldn't be enough for the people of God, He says, let me give to you now a promise. You and I might say, well, it's one thing for God to make a proclamation like that. But quite frankly, I'm still overwhelmed by the problems I'm ready to face. God knows our struggles. He knows our frames. He knows we're but dust. He knows how frail we are, and He gives us even more assurance. So in verse 2, He gives the promise. This is what He says to His people. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You say, Pastor, what do we take from a promise such as that? Does that mean that there is no way that we could ever be harmed? We'll never have to go through heartaches or struggles. Folks, God does not say He is going to spare us from trouble. What He has promised is He will preserve us in the trouble and through it all. The waters may come and they may rise and you may have to swim and struggle. But God says, I'll keep you if you trust in me. You will not drown. You may have to walk through the fire, but you'll not be burned. Oh, the dross might be removed, the heat might be turned up, and it might be hard, but it won't be kindled upon you. I will protect you. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we need not fear when we're called to walk through the fiery furnace, because again, God says, I'll be with you. God has promised to be with us in it all. How precious the promise of God. How precious are the promises of God in His Word. Folks, you can study throughout the pages of the Holy Scripture and you can find promise upon which you can build your life. He gives them to us as our assurance. And God says to His people, don't be afraid. I am promising in the midst of this great trial which is coming upon you for your own sin, you will not be consumed. Jeremiah would write 100 years or so later in the book of Lamentations, and he would say, it is of His mercies that we are not consumed. Great is the faithfulness of our God. I wonder if Jeremiah thought on what Isaiah had said or had read of the prophecies of Isaiah here as he reflected upon and made such a statement. We have been given the promise of God. What have we to fear? God has made His proclamation and God has given to us a promise. Is that not enough? Well, in verse 3, God gives us even more. For here He shares with us His pledge. I want you to notice with me the pledge of God. Again, we may still say, this just is not enough. I'm still afraid. God says, let me give you the guarantee, and that's how I'm using the term pledge there, the guarantee that I will fulfill my promise. Verse 3, God gives us his pledge. Notice what it says. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. God gives to us a pledge. And here's what I want you to note tonight. God's pledge to you and to me, that which guarantees the proclamation and the promise, is his person. Look at verse 3 again with me very clearly. The guarantee to the promise of God that he will preserve us is the very person of God. He is staking who he is on this promise. I have heard of late several advertisements that offer to clients loans, short-term loans, based upon their valuables. The advertisements go like this: need money for your upcoming vacation? Don't be afraid. You can bring your valuables to us and you can borrow off those valuables. You have that luxury watch? Bring that to us. Bob, so-and-so, whoever he is, he brought his watch to us. We gave him the money that all that he needed for his vacation. And when he repaid the loan, we gave him back his watch. What a wonderful thing. He guaranteed the loan with his watch. I don't think that's a good idea, by the way. And by the way, I don't think this is going to get me too far on a vacation. I think we bought it for $50 or $60, and I'll probably get $10 for the vacation, so it's not worth it. Here's the reality, though. God says, you want a guarantee? I'm going to give it to you. It's my person. I want you to see what he says. First of all, look at the statements. He says, I am the Lord thy God. He gives the promise and says, I am the Lord thy God. That phrase is centered in his name. The guarantee to the promise and proclamation is the very name of God. Notice the name with me. The Lord, which is Jehovah. The personal name of God that reminds us that he is the self-existent one. His name, Jehovah, guarantees the promise. But he also gives us the name Elohim, which reminds us that he is the God of all power who created all things by his spoken word. What is the guarantee to the promise of God? I, Jehovah Elohim, have said. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good guarantee. Jehovah has signed the letter. He has signed on the dotted line. I can trust in him. But he gives us even more. Again, this is full of assurance to you and I. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Holy One. That's centered on his character. I am the Holy One. Can I remind you what it means, the fact that God is holy? A couple simple things related to this concept or this context. It means that our God cannot lie. He always tells the truth. He cannot go back on his word. He has guaranteed it. We can rest in it. I love this, the fact, when I think of the holiness of God, it means he'll never make a mistake because he is holy. And God comes to you and I and says, I give you a proclamation. Don't be afraid. Here's my promise. I will preserve you. Here's my pledge. I'll put my name on it. And I'll back it with my character. I'm the Holy One. that's not enough, he goes another step and says, I am thy Savior. That's centered in his love. His name, his character, and it's all backed by the fact that we know he loves us. He continues to speak to Israel now and reminds them that he delivered them from their bondage in Egypt. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. I delivered you. You say, what guarantee do we have of that in our Bible? This is, again, to God's covenant people. How about Ephesians chapter 2? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, who in time past walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, according to the children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy and his great love, has loved us. He has redeemed us. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have the same promise. His love stands behind all that he is promising to us. His pledge is there. Beloved, what do we have to fear? He's given us a proclamation. He shared with us his promise. He's given us the guarantee, his pledge. Still need more? Sometimes we still do. Sometimes we still don't think this is really enough for me. God says, let me give to you the proof of it all. Do you not believe me? Can you not heed my proclamation? Will you not trust in my promise? Do you not understand the pledge for which I'm making? If you're not sure, let me give to you the final bit of proof. He's going to share with us four very simple thoughts, and we're going to look at them quickly tonight. God speaks to his people and says, the proof of my love for you. Verse 4. He says, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. What's the proof of these things that we see tonight? Can I remind you of this thought? Number one, we are precious in his sight. God says, verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight. As Isaac was the apple of Abraham's eye, so the Son of God was precious to the Father. And we are also his beloved. I marvel at that, by the way, when I consider the thoughts of how the New Testament refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of God. And God uses the same similar term for us. We're beloved and we're sons of God. God says, don't you see how precious you are to me? We are precious to the Lord. Folks, can you honestly tell me this evening that you have not yet realized the fact that you are precious in the eyes of God? If you haven't seen it as of late, then you need to open the eyes, folks, because it is there. We are precious to the Father. It goes on. We are honorable to him. The word honorable, like the word precious, carries the idea of being weighty or heavy. From this term, we get the concept that a thing is honorable. Gold is more precious and more honorable than aluminum. It's weightier. It's heavier. It's of greater value. God says we are weighty, that he has ascribed value to us. We are of worth and honor, for we are his. You are honorable to me. And then he reminds him, I have loved you. And folks, God has truly loved us. Is there anything that will cause us to forget that we have been loved of God? Folks, we see the proof of that day by day, that he loves you with an everlasting love. never forsaking his own. And then we're told that he remains near to us. I am with you. What have you and I to fear? God made a proclamation, fear not. He backed it with a promise, I'll preserve you. That promise is guaranteed by His pledge, His name, His character, and His love. And He has proven that He'll hold to that pledge over and again, because to us we have been precious, we have been honorable, loved, and He still remains near. I love these verses tonight. I love the truth that it gives to us. Simply state it, fear not. Verse 5 simply gives the statement, fear not, for I am with thee. Tonight as we close, I'm going to do something a little different, something I've not done with you before. But I'm going to do it tonight with you. I've given you a sheet when you came in tonight of a song. I want you to take that song out at this moment in time, if you would. If you didn't get one, the ushers can get it to you. But it is simply titled, I Am With You. The words were written by Chris Anderson and the music by Greg Habegger. Chris Anderson is the one who wrote the song that we have learned to sing and love, His Ropes for Mine. This was a song that was written and then dedicated last year to Colonial Hills Baptist Church, where Pastor Phelps is the pastor. After they lost in the tragedy of that bus accident, his son, his daughter-in-law, and their unborn child and another adult within their church, God moved in Chris's heart to pen these words, and then this song was dedicated to a congregation. I am going to, at the moment, just play for you this song. The organist and the pianist are just going to listen just like you are. You're going to see the words in front of you. You're going to hear it play over our sound system tonight. I want you to listen to the words, and I want you to follow along. Because what I think you're going to see is that the words go with the text that we've been in tonight. And I think you'll find them to be precious in thought. The wonderful reality that we can know our God is with us. I am with you. Listen, please, as the song is sung.
Surround me.
Again, as you hear those words sung, as you see the text before you, I think you can see, at least in part, the text that we consider tonight is there. And the truth that God's Word brings out has also now been put to song. I want us to try to go ahead and sing some of this tonight. Maybe we'll just sing the first verse or so. But Kelly's going to come and she's going to play for us tonight. And I'm going to have Tim come and we're going to try to learn this together a little bit. Because I think these are wonderful truths that can be a wonderful reminder to us. I'll be honest with you, this is the first thing on my playlist that I created. It's the first song that anytime I open up my computer and put songs on, this is the first song that is played in my playlist every time. And it's been a real blessing to my heart to be able to consider the thoughts and the truths of these words in this song. Because, folks, the reality is we live in a world that is overrun with fear, yet God's Word says, fear not. Why? I am with you. I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Tim's going to come. He's going to lead us as we seek to learn this together. You've heard the tune somewhat throughout this song. Let's try to sing it together, beginning here in verse 1.